go-to guy. The problems we have in America did not start in the 60s. They actually started in the 20s in a big way. The Great Depression and World War II set things back. That's the reason my parents' generation, please hear me, were terrible parents. They didn't learn how to parent. But World War II and the Great Depression slowed the stupid down till our generation, my generation, and then yours. That's the reason people of the 70s and 80s in here usually are terrible parents. I'm sorry. Don't have a clue. And that's pretty much universal. That's people I love. His name was J.B. Watson. He was an expert in child rearing. He offered a foolproof method of rearing children. And you may search him out on the internet. J.B. Watson. He said this: you never hug and kiss a child. Never let them sit on your lap. If you must, kiss them once on the forehead when you say goodnight. Shake hands with them in the morning. Remember, when you are tempted to pet your child, his words, that mother love is a dangerous instrument. Now, this sounds to me totally foolish, but it seems J.B. Watson, was doing nothing more than popularizing something that had already been going on. Are you all listening? In Europe for a long time. Does anybody know where this was common in Europe, where you never touch the children? Raise your hand. In the aristocracy, children were reared apart from any connection with parents. No love, no emotion. That junk then got brought to America in a popular form, and people thought, if I hug my child too much, it'll ruin them. I look around this room. Every person in this room, and some to a great extent, have some really stupid ideas about parenting. And some of you, some people are good at digging in. You know what digging in means? I don't know why. When I read this, I'm like, you got to be kidding me. By the way, they experimented in Europe. They actually had babies. They had like illegitimate babies. They brought into nurseries, like 30 or 50 of them, put them in a big nursery, and nobody ever touched them. Do you know what happened to them, Robert? They all died. Can you imagine that experiment? Not until I watch parents in this room. And I'm like, where did we miss what we do when a child's a baby? I don't know. In your notes, well, this is not in your notes. I'm just going to read this. Some of J.B. Watson's ideas were simply popularizing practices made common among the aristocracy of Europe. Little contact with parents, almost no emotions, or no emotional expressions or connections. Very stiff and very formal relationships. By the way, most of those children were reared by what, Pandak? They were reared by yayas, nannies. By the way, this is common. If you're a Filipino, common in the Philippines. I have rarely seen healthy Filipino families, because if you had money, mom had nothing to do with you most of the time. I know a lady that grew up in the Philippines. She's a doctor. Her mother was a doctor. Her mother never even talked to her about going through puberty, because that wasn't a mother's job. When you're wealthy, you're above all of that stuff. By the way, folks, we're talking about baby steps, getting down to parenting. Well, once you follow up from J.B. Watson to Sigmund Freud and his foolishness, and Benjamin Spock and his foolishness, and today, worse than all of those combined, most child-rearing philosophies today in America come from TV. I'm not being critical of the individual, but I am. Oprah and her like. Most women learn how to be a wife and a mother from TV. By the way, how many children does Oprah have? I'm trying to remember. Whew. People who have no experience with having children and no biblical understanding. In your notes, we're going to go through this quickly. The Bible assumes developmental stages. The Bible assumes developmental stages. I would assume everybody would know this, but that's just a big assumption. So when Samuel is born, his mother, Hannah, is going to keep him home in verse 22 in your notes. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child is weaned, which means there's an assumption that there's a difference between a 12-year-old and a 1-year-old. Yes or no? By the way, it's just common sense. I mean, you know, there's a difference between a baby and a 15-year-old. What I find very strange in people that don't know how to parent, any pastor would tell you this that actually observes people. We treat our babies like teenagers and our teenagers like babies. Strangest thing in the world. Because we don't know anything about just basic developmental stages of children. In your notes, verse 23. Elkanah, her husband, said unto her, do what seemeth thee good. Tarry until thou hast weaned him. On only the Lord establishes word. So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him. You say, when did that happen? We don't know the exact moment. It's not significant. In the ancient world, my guess is weaning took a little longer than it does today. We realize that breast milk is quite good for a baby up to a point, and then you have to supplement. And if you don't, you're going to have problems. In the ancient world, they did what they could do, like in many places in the world. In Galatians, just quickly, Galatians talking about salvation brings up this issue not of childhood, not of infancy, but of more this age, and assumes some developmental stages between children. The law was our schoolmaster to bring us into Christ that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we're no longer under the schoolmaster. Then he talks about the heir as long as he's a child. Child napios means that a baby that cannot speak. He differs nothing from a servant, though he's the person that's going to be the Lord of all, meaning the one that's going to control things, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. I would spend more time here other than to say this. The Bible assumes developmental stages. Number two, these developmental stages are common sense observation. If you do not have any idea what I'm talking about and you are not arrogant, remember what I said last week, you only have to be smart enough, not arrogant enough not to ask questions. The best way to learn about developmental stages, come to school for a couple days. Watch the difference between someone in K-4, first grade, third grade, and all of a sudden you instantly know one thing. Without anybody teaching these kids, there are developmental stages that children have. It's observational. Did you know that? You can't talk to a 2-year-old like you talk to a 14-year-old. By the way, if you don't know what I'm talking about, you spank your 14-year-old and you reason with your 2-year-old. I've known many parents to try to spank. By the way, you try to spank a male, and all you're going to have is a male that's going to beat you up someday if he's 14 or 15. So you see parents talking to Bubby, reasoning with their boy at 2. By the way, very little reasoning at 2, a lot of reasoning at 14. We'll talk about that later. Developmental stages, pretty straightforward, in your notes. This basically has two different concepts. And you're going to look at this. Time, you know, ages, or ages if you prefer, and transition. Now you say, what are these transitions? This is broadly conceived, folks. 0 to 2, 3 to 4, maybe 5. It's kind of hard to say where, we have a K-4 and a K-5. There's a definite, maybe this is 3. There's big differences. 1st to 2nd. 3rd to 4th, it is weird. Somewhere in 3rd to 4th, children change so much. Look at me in the eyes. Go watch Sister Ann teach K-4. And then you try to teach K-4 for 30 seconds. I remember when Christy was teaching K-4 a long time ago, before Nicole, before Ann. I would go in there and Christy would have these kids organized, highly organized. I would walk in, she'd have to use the restroom, and they go crazy. They don't listen to me. Do you all know why? Because a child doesn't understand. I understand teenagers. If you tell teenagers to have a seat, they sit down. If you tell K-4 kids to have a seat, they go crazy. And then I would hear Christy and Coley does it. By the way, in Ann and Nicole are like totally different planets when it comes to teaching. One is... I better not say that. One is quiet and one is not as quiet. But when you tell a kid that's 4 or 5 years old, please be seated. You got to be kidding me. Oh, children, please be. You'd be pulling your hair out. You have to be concrete. Yes, Coley? Now, I don't know, what do you say? On is different than Coley, though. On is, she walks in there and gets right at their level, and they're all seated and they're all proper. And the moment she walks out of K4, they go nuts when I'm in there. Because they know, fun time, Pastor Warren. Let me give you some other breaks. Somewhere around 3rd and 4th is quite a bit different. 5th and 6th. Now, if you have children up to 6th grade, things are good. All children at this age, you should ship them off to their grandparents or somebody. Why kids become totally retarded at this age, I don't know. Smart kids become retarded at this age. Kids that you thought were the best kids in school become. 7th and 8th grade. By the way, can I ask you a question? Do you see how common sense this is? Now, are you going to parent your children? You better understand they're different at different ages. Very different. So, please, do me a favor. Your child is 3 years old. Don't sit down and give them a 30-minute lecture on why it's okay to obey. When they're 14, by the way, here's what's sad. I said this last week. They're not here today. Your children grow up. I can remember, I look around this room, I can remember when many of our children were little bitty and everybody was, ooh, ah. When they're in 7th and 8th grade, you don't even notice the people in the church don't talk to these kids because nobody likes them. Now, usually, there's a difference between 9th and 10th, but this is not as broad. And by the time they're in 11th and 12th, you know what's really strange? You start liking them again. 7th and 8th grade, they smell. They're weird. Just take your eyes off of yourself and observe. I'm not going to talk about all that today. That's just basic, broad, common sense divisions. I gave you, those are the examples. Number three, this information was traditionally handed down through the family. Traditionally, it was handed down through the family and one's community or church. One's community or church. Well, I only have so much time. We'll read Titus in a moment. Here's the gap. Everyone look here. In America, I don't know when this stopped. I see Ade and Linda back there. I don't know about in your country, in Cameroon, and I see your brother. I don't know about Cameroon, but this is what I know in America. And I know the Philippines both pretty well. Filipinos that come to America think their kids are Filipinos. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. They're Americans. Sorry, they might have the skin color, but they're Americans. And everything that was, the Philippines has a built-in system. Are you listening? It has a built-in cultural system that keeps children to some degree corralled. Here's the problem. In America, we don't have that. We haven't had that. I don't know when we had that. Maybe the 60s. I think when I was a kid, especially in grade school, if you were stupid, you didn't have to wait for mom to give you a whooping. The other person's mom would give you a whooping. But that is so far, that's 50 years ago. Hear me, 50 years ago in this country. So you over here, Ade, you got perfect children. One of them is perfect. One of them is perfect like dad, and one of them's like, anyhow. Listen, those kids get up here about right here, and I don't know, Ade, I don't know Cameroon, but my guess is it's more traditional where you have more, you don't get away with certain things because it's not just mom and dad giving you a whooping. That ain't happening in America. It's been 50 years at least. I would say in big cities like Chicago, it's been a lot longer than that, probably back into the 20s. In rural areas like where I'm from, when I was a kid, you still had some of that, and in maybe small towns. You don't have it at all today. Fact is, you might have your son might go over to somebody's house, not all the kids, but some kids' house, and it might be worse. It might be the worst thing ever happened to them. Truth used to be transmitted through three places, the family, the community, and the church. In this room, I have found older women incapable of talking to even their daughters about things, which is weird to me. Look at the text. The aged women, we get presbyteros. The elders, the pastors, are older men. That doesn't mean ancient women, friend. It means someone older, which in the ancient world would be 30 and above. Did you hear that? 30 and above. So everybody here 30 and above, you're considered an older woman in the Bible. That they be in behavior, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the younger women. Naos, we get the word new from that, to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. Here's the problem. How many of you live with your parents? My mother learned everything about parenting because she had 10 children in her family younger than her. Plus, her grandmother, my great-grandmother, had 10 living children. So you had these massive families. My mother never took a course on how to parent a child. She didn't need to. She considered her younger brothers and sisters, she never had a doll as a child, she considered them her dolls. Feeding, hugging, loving, cleaning. Today, many of us grew up with this. This is our doll. By the way, I believe the church's job is to do this. By the way, this is the last time I will ever teach on this. This section. I will never teach on this again. Women will teach this or it will not be taught. This is a woman's job, not a pastor's job. And the women in this church need to take responsibility. When they see a woman that doesn't know how to take care of a baby, good grief, we've got to have 50 women helping them. Number four, obviously, today, I'm talking about America, but I think this is true in most countries today. Many competing visions or viewpoints are regularly being spread. Would you say that's true? So should you spank a child?
Yes.
Well, it's all according to where you're getting your information from. By the way, what should spanking look like? I have to say this. When I worked at Dire Mercy Hospital, there was a guy there, typical male, didn't know how to parent, never learned anything about parenting. So this is how typical males parent. Nothing, everything. He did nothing with the children. He didn't interact. He didn't love. He didn't pray with them. He didn't work with them. He didn't discipline them. And he had a daughter that got out of control. And he thought discipline was taking a lamp, taking the cord from the lamp, wrapping it around her neck, and he strangled her to death. And I'm going to say this to you. If you don't get how to discipline a child, and by the way, physical discipline, in my way of thinking, age 2 to 5, done. Only one place, the behind. We'll talk about it later. Very minimal. If you don't figure this out, this is what happens. This is the reason we have so much child abuse. We have parents that don't know how to rear their children, so their children get out of control, and the only resort the man has, Tom, is physical. He beats them up. You really got to be kidding me. Beat them up? We'll talk about that in future weeks. Now, I'm going to give you television. And for all of you deadheaded television people, and you should raise your hand now, this is your life, and you don't even know it. But Pastor Warren watches. I don't watch content. I watch how it's processed. This is America today in a nutshell. You hear about a sad story. Child was abused by the parent. You see video, photos. And, of course, they bring on TV, and nobody ever asked how this person became an expert. By the way, this is television. And if you are a bonehead watching television and having television watch you, this is your life, and you don't even know what's happening. So you have a sad story. They show some video. They show photos. Usually they interview all the neighbors. I didn't put that there. We never knew they were like this. You have the expert on, and the expert introduces some new crazy idea, like 1928, don't kiss your child. That was an expert. I want to ask you a question. How many children has Oprah reared? Why do we think these people are experts? Because they're... Please look at me. They're on television. They must be. They tell sad stories. They have good video. They have photos. They have Dr. So-and-so. I would like you to see most of the psychiatrists I've ever been around had more problems than in your notes. So they have some new crazy idea, and then guess what happens after that? On to the next story, and on to the next expert, until a new crisis begins. Do you understand this process, folks? Is that a way to learn about child rearing? By the way, here's the books you need on child rearing. They're real simple. James Dobson and the Child Wise books. There's a series. You say, I don't know where those are at. By the way, if you're a parent or a grandparent, you should have these things memorized. They're on the internet. They're under book recommendations from our website. Dobson, at least three books you need. New Dare to Discipline, Strong-Willed Child, and what's the other one? Hide or Seek. The Child-Wise books are a series. The main book is Child-Wise. By the way, these are as helpful as books. It's very positive, very helpful. Or you can be a parent from Oprah. You say, well, Oprah's not on. The next Oprah. They're all over television, and they're people that are stupid. And if you listen to them, there's one of them, I don't know her name, she's on Fox. She's even had all kinds of problems with her son, but she gives child parenting advice. Number five, biblical principles and practices must now be transferred intentionally, which means, friend, if you're going to be any kind of a Christian, you must intentionally, grandparents, transfer these to your children. Look at the 1 Corinthians passage, not at all talking about child rearing, but talking about the faith. Paul says, for I have received. Look here, Tim, stand up. Here it is. I have received, look what the text says, for I have received of the Lord that which I also, by the way, that's intentionally transferring a body of knowledge. So if you're an adult in this room, I expect you to intentionally transfer truth to other people. That's Christianity. Thank you. 2 Timothy 2:2, we all know the text at the top. The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Next page, please. Without reading the verses one more time, we're going to talk about for the next 20 minutes, baby steps. This idea, by the way, and I'm being real specific, probably 0 to 2, maybe 3. Again, I've already said I will never teach on this again. I find that it's almost foolish for a pastor to even have to say this, but I have realized we have not transferred this. And if you grew up in a situation where you were not taken care of by a mother, you ought to observe the good mothers in this church, and it's intuitive to them. And for other people, they don't know what to do with little kids. Little kids are just nervous all the time, and it's like, come on. Now, I want to say this before we get into this. We have our grandson last night. You know what I know about grandchildren that I didn't know about children? My grandson's perfect. They take a lot of time. So it's going to be hard for you to be surfing and taking care of your children when they're young. They're time intensive. My wife spent all night last night. You say, what did you do? I'm not walking. I took a run. In your notes, we'll skip the verses. We've already read them. The ideal circumstances. Mom takes on the nurturing role. Yes, I do believe that God made mothers and fathers. I believe mothers and fathers are different. Folks, this is fundamental to Christianity. And even if you don't buy into Christianity, look up here. It's fundamental to traditional cultures. It's only stupid places like America that think you don't need a dad and a mom. You need a dad and a mom, and their role is somewhat different. So the ideal circumstance, mom takes on the nurturing role, dad the supporting role. You say, what does that mean? This is for people that don't think. Dad makes sure mom can fulfill her initial role. So dad does every single thing under the sun to make sure mom can take care of the babies. And of course, he joins in the nurturing. I'm not a mother. I have no mothering ability. But I can tell you this, I like children. I like my grandson. Now, recently, Stacy Steinbach brought me Elijah and said, do you want to hold him? And I'm going to tell you the truth. The answer is no, I don't hold babies very often. You say, are you allergic? No, they're not my baby, and I'm not good with babies. But I would hold Nathan when he was a baby. I held Amy once. That was once too many. How do you know? Now, everything I'm going to say is like, T, you're back there. You live in Chicago, don't you? Do you know this Greek word? Duh. Okay, in your notes. Basic activities, baby steps, feeding. And under feeding, I would say, you know, things like clothing, washing, taking care of. You know, do I need to say anything more about that? Unfortunately, we have parents that think children that are 2 weeks old can feed themselves. Give them a bottle, stick them in a bed. Feeding. Look up here. I don't want to brag on anybody. All you got to do is watch Emily with that baby. There's a difference. The baby's always here. Being loved by mom when she's being fed, it isn't stick the baby someplace so I can get back to doing this. Feeding to the right. Holding. I would say for the first couple years, holding should be such an essential part of being a parent. And I would say, this is what I say about that. That Greek word, duh, until I watch some of you that can't hold your grandchildren or your children. You cannot hold, I'm like, holding to the right. Rocking, it's always a good thing. Next, singing or humming. Linda, I've heard you sing. You better stick with the humming. Of course I'm mean. When did that change? Yes, and your brother's going to set some other place today. By the way, may I say this, folks? There's something beautiful about a mother that sings even before the baby's born. I don't know how much good it does, but it does the mother good. How's that sound? I don't know if the baby that's still not born can hear, but it does the mother good. And there's something beautiful about it, just singing and humming. And it's something very beautiful for a child. And then this morning I came downstairs and I hear Nathan, guess what he's doing? Singing. Some crazy song he learned from his parents. Kind of nice. Next, loving. I want to ask you a question. How do you tell a child you love them? See these things? Through the eyes. That's how you tell everybody you love them. Mm-hmm. Loving the child. Let's see here. What else do I need to say here? Talking or conversing. Best way to have your child learn to talk is no baby talk, no foolish talk. Just talk to the child. Talk, and converse. And it's amazing. Now, I know, Linda, in this case, you were an expert because Leah was born talking. Is that correct? And by the way, it's a beautiful thing when a child can converse with you. And it becomes pretty obvious. I got a job for you. You can't do it today. And Emily, I'm sorry you're here, so you have to hear this. This has nothing to do with Steve. I'm in the balcony, down in the gym or the auditorium during the week. My good daughter has Vivian. I walk into the balcony, and I always do this. I say, hey, Vivian, and this is what Vivian does. Do you know why? Because she's been having conversations since the day she was born. And yes, I think Steve, I don't like to ever say positive about Steve, but he's involved in this too. I'm guarantee he's supporting mom. You look at me. If you don't do that, you start having children that are disconnected. And then they get to K-4, K-5, first grade, and we have Coley, do we ever have problems with these kids? No one's ever talked to them. By the way, I walk into K-5. My buddy, he's a very handsome guy, Quee's in there. I say Quee's name. I don't care what's going on. He stands up and looks at me and smiles. Because mom and dad and Vibin and or Zeben, or I call her different names, they've been talking to that boy. And there's something beautiful. You find a child that mom and dad have, I don't know what we're doing. Or turn the crap off and actually be a parent. By the way, it's really nice when they grow up and they actually like you and you like them. You grow up not parenting, you'll have some results too. Next. I've already said this, I guess. Connecting, which means eye to eye. You cannot look into a child's eyes too much, 0 to 2. You cannot connect too much. This does something transformative to a child. Folks, the first 2 years, every expert that's ever studied people knows 0 to 5 is absolutely essential, but 0 to 3 is where the foundation is laid. You mess up that, you have children that have difficulties all through life, and you caused them. Well, why didn't you cause them? Because television was more important than your child. Let me say this. If you don't want to take care of a child, give the child up to a good family or don't have one. Please. Connecting. Next, touching. All children need to be touched. I don't even need to say appropriately. I hope not in here. How about this one? Smiling and laughing. Is a sense of humor important? Where do you think they learned that? I was with my wife and I was with my mother. She's 83 years old. And my mother, I can pick on her in an appropriate way. And she picks on me like I was doing Linda. And we're all laughing our heads off. I get around other people, they have no sense of humor. What's wrong? Because I grew up in a home, my dad had a very good sense of humor, and my mom does. And just the normal repartee, not putting people down, not being mean, not being ugly, just funny stuff. My mom tells funny stories about herself, things she messed up on, and it's just part of the, and then I'm around other people, there's no sense of humor. Why? Because we're too busy getting back to. Next. Cuddling. Do I have cuddling in there? Or hugging? And of course, I believe this is a must while feeding a child. I don't think a child should ever be fed apart from a mother or somebody fulfilling the motherly role. So this means I'm a big fan of breastfeeding, at least early on, if the mother is capable, obviously. So we have to be careful about this. But if Steve here feeds Emily, you don't feed Emily in a bed, in a... Okay, you heard one thing I said today. If Steve feeds Vivian... Thank you, Steve.
Oh, no, you're done anyway.
I'm done. I'm toast. I'm history. All right, let's start this again. If Steve feeds Vivian, hear me, Steve doesn't put her in a bed in another room while he watches TV. If you ever do that, God forgive your rotten soul. Child should be held, especially 0 to 2. That is the greatest bonding time of all. Should I even have to say this? The problem is you start seeing generations of people disconnected. Nobody knows how to get connected. Nobody. So these kids grow up disconnected and very antisocial. Do you realize when I walk in to this room every day when I do my deliveries, there are certain kids that connect with me and certain kids hear me. Some of them are your children and grandchildren will not connect with me. You ought to be asking a question, why not? We continue. Affirming. Now, you say, what do you mean by affirming, folks? Just making... Everything ought to be affirming the child. You're my child. I love you. I'm glad you're here. We're happy you're part of our... Just the affirmation a child needs. Let me ask you, think a 2-year-old can get too much affirmation from mom and dad? I believe this begins minimally at birth. And, of course, playing. Children need lots of playing. Look at me, please. I'm going to say this in a moment. TV is not playing. Video games are not playing. That actually, playing stimulates the mind and the creativity and worlds and all of that. Video games and TV does the exact opposite. You have a kid in my Bible class. See, I see your children and grandchildren on the other end. I have people in my Bible class that are so dead-headed. They're not interested in anything. Well, of course not. They grew up twitching with TV. My friend, playing. When Nathan comes, I'm sorry, we're not watching TV. We're not watching a movie. My wife, mostly, I say it straightforward, me secondarily, we're going to be doing stuff with that boy. You say, what are we going to be doing? You just read them. TV never enters the picture. You say it's a good program. TV never enters the picture. TV is passive, folks. When you're sitting there looking like a cow, that's what they're looking like. You're not doing this, you're doing this. This is called parenting. In your notes, it's important to remember that all of these are activities. What we do seems to be straightforward. Now, basic ideas. Now we move from just basic things you need to do. Tim, I do not have an eraser, and that is not good. I'll start here. We'll be all right. Don't mess with it. Don't have time. Basic ideas. Early childhood development is all about very simple yet profound ideas. If you've never heard these ideas, this is your introduction this morning. Parents and grandparents, look here in the eyes. This is what you are required by God to do. This is not your religion. This is not your option. The first word is this word, attachment. It is absolutely essential that that child attaches primarily to the mother, the way God organized things. I mean, folks, male and female, mother and father was not invented before Barack Obama showed up and decided it wasn't important. It comes from the Word of God, from the foundation when God created man and woman. It's all through history. It's in every culture except stupid cultures like this culture. Mom and dad. Attachment. That is essential. Everything of the activities I just mentioned are about attaching. There is a natural process over time of detachment. We're not talking about parenting a child where you can't let them go, therefore you mess them up on the other side. But it's actually, if I can use a big word, it's a dialectical process. It's a back and forth. There's an element, especially when they're young, it's primarily attachment. Then there's elements of detachment, and then, of course, of reattachment. Which means this. You have little Vivian here. She is how old, Emily? She's way away from much detachment yet. But when she gets to be, you know, she starts crawling around and walking. She's able for a little bit of detachment. And this is what I mean by detachment. Not sticking her in another room with something in her mouth and having her watch television. That is filth. This is what I mean. Mom is in the kitchen. There's another room nearby where she can see Vivian. And mom is cooking. And Vivian's playing with her blocks. She's learning it's safe because mom's right here, but she's detaching. That little process of attaching, detaching, reattaching makes you stable in the future. Why do you think people have problems in relationships? Either they overattach because nobody ever attached to them as a child, or they can't ever attach at all. They're detached. These are essential concepts, friend. I'm going to give you different words for the same concepts, if I might. There's a concept of bonding. You bond with a child, you have to teach them boundaries. You say, what are boundaries? That means the child is not you and you're not the child. So it's you bond with the child, I love you, you're my child, yet at the same time the child has an element of distance over time. Somewhere in the twos and threes you start establishing more boundaries, not when they're an infant. And so there's bonding, boundaries, and in my way of thinking, just more, and I'm not going to write on top of my head, more bonding. And this is just a process. Goes on all the time. I can't even believe what my mother would let me do at age 14, but it was very safe. Folks, and when I grew up in the country, and when I was young, 9, 10, 11, 12, I'd go out on the farm and be gone for 8 hours. Could you imagine your boys being gone? You would be freaking out. Now, part of that was I was on the farm. I was out in the woods playing cowboys and Indians or good guys and bad guys or cops and robbers or whatever. You know, that's what I did. But I was out there in the way out in the middle of nothing. Now, was that bad? No, it was actually very good. I get along very good by myself, and I'm good with people. But I find a lot of people either can't be alone or they can't be with people. It all comes back to childhood. There's philosophy underneath this, folks. Children need to bond. They need to if you prefer this, they need to connect. They need to disconnect, and they need to reconnect. Same concepts. That is the process in your notes, and I have to hurry. Ages 0 to 3 is mostly positive. And only so, meaning positive, and only positive until 18 months. Meaning I don't think a child under 18 months should have hardly anything negative ever put in their life. You say, why? Because a child, Jenny? Is this a true story? Did we not work with a guy that was our assistant pastor that spanked his infant in the crib? From a fun damn mentalist home. You know, no fun, too much damn, and no mental at all. By the way, a child that's 4 weeks old has no concept of anything. Spanking a child, by the way, why are you spanking them for? Stupidity. So I believe to 18 months, just pretty much positive. In your notes, for me, this is more or less true until age 24 months, to about age 2. And by the way, by about age 2, they're going to have to learn the magic word. And the magic word is new. And my grandson is just being forced to learn the word no, and he had to hear it from Grandpa last night, and he didn't like it. He did not like me or that word last night. Ooh, he didn't like it. But by the way, as opposed to Vivian, you see, he is now, when you tell him, don't do that, he does that on purpose then. That's when the magic word starts, and other things we'll talk about in the future. In your notes, no spanking of any kind at all before 18 months. And then only, Frenchie left a messed a word up, only if done properly on a baby's bottom. And I mean properly on a baby's bottom. If I ever hear about somebody in here beating their kids with sticks, slugging their kids, we will take you out back and I'll have Uncle Louie and some other men work you over. The foolishness I've heard in Christian homes, beating kids, you got to give me a break here, folks. Please. Plus, this can happen actually probably in 18 months easily. Plus, the firm voice of mom and dad. Emily, do you have to do the firm voice yet? Or not really? Not Vivian. She does not have any of these inclinations. You're talking about Steve. Next, you might, plus you can remove the temptation. We've had to learn that. Our house is full of temptation. You go down to John and Tiffany's house and you wonder why it's bare. There's a reason. Our house has got too much junk. Summary. As baby steps, all attachment and then very small windows of detachment. And then immediately back to reattachment. Gradually more detachment, specifically with time. So you have longer periods of being detached. You have longer periods of being disconnected. So when the child gets to be about 18 years old and they go off to college, look at me. It's all right if the child cries and the mom and dad cry. That's wonderful. But the child can survive at college because you have gradually widened this. Now, you see the bottom. Some of you already put your notes away. See the bottom? That's not a suggestion. The American Pediatrics Association says no screen time under 2 years old of any kind at any time. Do you wonder why your children twitch or can't think? You have given them the one-eyed babysitter. Because, by the way, having children is one word, W-O-R-K. This is what I want. I want every mother in this room to be able to understand what I said today. And the moment somebody starts asking, you can start talking. Because, really, most children are messed up at the beginning. Now, we don't know we got a problem until they're about 14, and we're wondering why our child is pregnant and on drugs. It might have had something to do with you didn't have that baby and attach to that baby and love that baby and talk with that baby and communicate with that baby, but you start to see the problems younger. You'll start to see kids in first grade that have anger problems, and you're like, anger problems? First grade? Because there was no proper attachment, detachment, reattachment, which is just an ongoing thing. You continually do it. Listen, I have a daughter. She's right here. You're 27. I still like to attach to her. I like to talk to her. Sometimes she likes to talk to me. By the way, never ends. It's not the same as it was when she was two. Friend, I want to ask you, are you willing to turn off the crap you're watching and put down your toys in order to be a parent or a grandparent? You are accountable for your actions. The results will be in children. And I'm not talking about any kind of perfection. Children should grow up happy, healthy, attached to mom and dad, but yet able to detach appropriately without rebelling. Let me give you one other thing, and I know we're late. Here it is. Are you ready? Children are dependent? No. Well, yes, they become learn how to be independent, so one day they can grow up and be truly interdependent appropriately, not codependent, not anti-people. Baby steps. Let's pray. Father, bless your word, I ask in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you.